Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Is God Still Just When We Don't See the Righteous Rewarded and the Wicked Punished?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. Last week, we talked about how God is a God of justice, and He repays everyone for what He does in this life. He rewards the righteous for their righteous acts, and He punishes the wicked for their wicked deeds. He is a God of justice, and there is no partiality with Him. Amen. I preached that last week because, you know, we always got to keep this refreshed and be encouraged in it, lest we lose sight of it. Why do we lose sight of that, about God being a God of justice and repaying? Well, because, number one, we're just forgetful creatures, right? We forget almost everything that we're taught, all of us, myself included. And secondly, sometimes in life, it can be and seem that we don't see God rewarding the righteous and punishing the wicked. In fact, sometimes if you look at the world, it seems like it's the exact opposite of that. Sometimes it seems like the wicked get rewarded for their wickedness and they're exalted and they're doing great and prospering, but the righteous, by following righteousness, just suffer for it and they go from bad to worse. So sometimes it seems, when we look at the world and the way it operates in this present life, that it's in vain to serve the Lord. Is He really a God of justice? It seems like the wicked are rewarded for their wickedness and they prosper, and the righteous suffer for their righteousness. What's the use of serving the Lord? So say some. Don't ever say that, but some say that. It seems that way when we look at the world. So let's refresh ourselves today in God being a God of justice. And how are we to understand this when, looking at the world, it seems to be at odds with what I just said. It seems to be the opposite of the truth. It seems like the wicked are getting away with their crimes and prospering, and the righteous are suffering for it. What are we to make of that? And how can we keep our eyes fixed on and believing in the justice of God, that He indeed does repay everyone for what He's done in this life, rewarding the righteous and punishing the wicked? How do we keep faith in that in this twisted and evil world? Well, first thing you can do is just refresh yourself on the Word of God. God's Word is very clear. Let's listen to a few. Psalm 7, God is a righteous judge. Again, Psalm 37, the Lord loves justice. Psalm 97, righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. 1 Samuel 26, the Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and faithfulness. In Psalm 7 of the wicked, God makes the mischief of the wicked return upon his own head, and on his own pate, his own head, his violence descends. Again, the Lord rewards the righteous for the righteousness and punishes the wicked, thus says the Scriptures. So just refresh yourselves and what God says here, if you need clarity on that and refreshment. Secondly, we can look and refresh ourselves in God's justice by looking at the world and seeing He does actually work justice in the world, doesn't He? I mean, the righteous are actually rewarded even in this life. If you follow God and you follow Christ, what rewards do you get from it even here? Well, your heart is at peace. You have joy, more love in your heart. It's filled with praise. You have good Christian friends. Your friendships, your relationships go so much better. Your house is basically in order, at least more or less, right? And your finances are more greatly blessed. You might not have a lot, but you never miss a meal. God takes care of you. And your conscience is clean, and you have more joy in your heart than other people. And you generally live longer on this life as a righteous person and come to your ripe old age, surrounded by your family and friends. So a lot of times we do see the righteous rewarded even in this life. And you see the punishment of the wicked sometimes in this life as well. You know, if you're wicked, the Bible says sometimes you don't even live out half your days. If you're a drug dealer, you want to live on the streets as a prostitute and go in the wrong way, well, You die young a lot of times. You get old faster. Your finances are bankrupt. Your heart is filled with troubles. Your relationships are broken, and it's a big trouble. So, is that true? Sometimes God, we see he rewards the righteous in this life, and sometimes it seems, yeah, we see him punishing the wicked for their wickedness. For we read in Jeremiah 9, God says, "I am the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord." So, God's word tells us he's the God of justice. We do see his righteousness, rewarding the righteous and punishing the wicked, even in this life. But what's the trouble with all this so far? Sometimes, when we look out at the world, it can seem the opposite. Because sometimes the righteous suffer for following righteousness, and things actually get worse and go from bad to worse. Whereas for the wicked, sometimes by following wickedness, they don't seem to suffer for their crimes at all, but they actually get exalted and things go better and better for them. And they seem to prosper in their wickedness. And when we see things like that, it's like, where are you, God? Are you really a God of justice? Why is the wicked prospering and the righteous suffering so? Are you really a God who repays? You need to look at David's life in the Bible. He slew Goliath. He had great mighty victories for the Lord. Saul killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. It was going great. This guy is doing everything right. David, a man after God's own heart. What did he get for it? Kevin, what did he get for it? King Saul gets envious, conspires to plot and kill David, and he has to run away and hide for a long time with a band of outlaw men with him in the rocks and caves and the cold and the exposure, getting hunted and hounded, and his life is pressed hard. Someone's trying to kill him. The whole army's after him because he's doing the right thing. Sometimes, like look with Moses. Moses, go and save my people Israel out of Egypt. Okay, God. Eventually he said yes. He goes, let my people go, Pharaoh. And what happened on account of that? He's doing the right thing, amen? Well, as soon as he does that, Pharaoh still is exalted and things get worse for Israel. And Moses has to turn into the Lord and say, oh God, Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you even ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he has done evil to this people and you have not delivered your people at all. In fact, things got more brutal and harder under the taskmasters. Moses is like, what's the use of me even coming here? It's gone from bad to worse. You know, Paul, he gets called to preach Jesus Christ. And did he do a good job, Bill? Nobody did better. He went out and preached to the whole world. What did he get for it? Oh, well, here's your reward, Paul. You're shipwrecked 3 times. You're in cold and exposure. You're hounded and hunted by the Jews. You are spending your nights in cold and exposure. You're penniless, and you're considered the offscouring of all things, the refuse of the world. So, you know, sometimes it seems like the righteous suffer for their righteousness, but the wicked, you know, they're all getting off scot-free. Pharaoh's still on his throne. King Saul is prospering in his palace. The Jews hounding and hunting Paul, they're living in luxury and getting the praise of men. Do we see the same thing in our day? Sometimes seem the opposite of the truth. God's not working justice on the earth. Sometimes it seems the righteous suffer. Remember that girl that was a Christian in high school, graduating as valedictorian of her class? And she wanted to mention Jesus. They said, oh, you will not mention him in your valedictorian speech. And she did anyway. She did the right thing. What did she get for it? Well, we're not giving you your diploma. And they all go out and have a nice lunch, tea and cake, and she doesn't get a diploma for doing the right thing. You've seen Christian baseball players recently. You will wear the LGBTQ pink uniform or else. Well, I'm not wearing it. Well, then you're suspended from the game and you're going to lose money over it. The Christian evangelist or missionary gives up everything he can live in the West and pleasure in America and peace, goes overseas to a third world country. He also is penniless. He faces injury, hurt, attacks from those about him. He's living hunted and hounded himself, sometimes imprisoned, sometimes killed. For what? He's doing the right thing. It seems the opposite of the truth. While wicked people are getting off scot-free. God, where are you? the Wall Street criminal who is dealing with illegal insider trading, as they call it, he's making a killing on Wall Street. He's living in, he owns his own island and lives in a penthouse for doing wickedness. You've got the George Soros's, he's the big villain of our days, isn't he? Got to bring his name up, and the billionaires. They're promoting death, the destruction of human beings and countries. What do they get for it? Well, they're number one in the world, and they have all money and power. The DNC convention this week, unfortunately, had abortion buses outside where you could go and get a free, it's like an ice cream truck going through your community, but they have an abortion truck. You can go get a free abortion, and as of earlier this week, they had already killed 25 babies as part of their platform, which was death, is death. But you know what? We didn't see any judgment of God for that. There was no lightning that came down from the sky, which should have judged them for such a thing. They just get off scot-free. So you got to wonder, where are you, God? Where is the justice in this? Why, if you are a God of repayments, why are you allowing the evil to prosper in this case and the righteous have to suffer so? Where are you, God? How do we make sense of this? So how do we make sense of this? Well, we ask the question, God, where are you? Where is your justice? If you've ever asked that question, why do you allow the evil to prosper? Well, the Bible says the same thing. We get that question all the time in the Bible. Amen? You know it? Look at Habakkuk. Remember that guy? God says, he says to God, why do you, God, look idly at wrong and justice never goes forth? The wicked surround the righteous and you, God, are silent while the wicked man swallows up the man more righteous than he. Where's your justice, God, said Habakkuk. I don't see it. And said, it looks the opposite to me. Psalm 10, David says, O Lord, why do you stand afar off and hide yourself in the time of trouble while the arrogant, wicked, and hotly pursue the poor? Why don't you come and rescue them, Lord? Again, we see in Psalm 73, that guy says, I almost slipped in my faith, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs, their bodies are sleek, they're not in trouble as other men are. They are always at ease, increase in riches. And he says, all in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. What's the reward for doing right when the evil prosper? Seems like there's no justice. One more. Malachi, it says there, God's people were saying, it's in vain to serve God, for what's the profit of keeping his charge or walking before him in mourning? For we call the arrogant blessed, for evildoers not only prosper, but they, when they put God to the test, they escape. So have you ever asked, God, where is your justice? You're not alone. The saints of the Bible have said the same. What is God's answer to us, though? How does he speak to us now to remind us and refresh us that he's a God of justice and will repay and reward every man for what he's done, good or evil, to the very last thought in our hearts? Jesus gives us a great parable here, which we read a moment ago. Let's read it. He's going to tell us the answer about how to understand these things. So Matthew 13, verse 24 to 30. Another parable Jesus put to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the weeds and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? In other words, judge now. Get rid of the wicked. Destroy these evil seeds, these weeds. But the landowner, he said, no. Lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I'll tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat, but gather the wheat into my barn. So, is God a God of justice? Jesus is teaching us here, absolutely he is. It's just a matter of timing when you don't see it. For this parable teaches that the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. What is that? The field that God has is the world. Okay, God, it's like he owns a big field. The world is his field. God is the great landowner over this field. Who works the good in the world? God wants only good in the world. Amen? He loves justice, so he wants good in the world. Who does he send? Phil, I'll call on you. Who does he send? You're on the spot. To sow good seed into the world? The Son of Man. Yeah, Son of God, Jesus, is the one who sows good in the world. What is the good? What is the wheat that comes up, Ian, that growing in the world? The good that's coming up, who is that? It's the Christians. It's the wheat. That's your salvation. It's good in the world. And it's also the good deeds of the saints. There's good springing up in the world through Christ, who's working in the Christians to save them and to cause them to bear good fruit. But what do we notice also about the world here, according to Jesus? It also has what in the world, Vivian? Evil people. There are the weeds as well, which are poisonous seeds. There's a poisonous plant. In the Greek, it's zizanion. What a great word, right? Zizanion. These were a type of plant in the ancient times, in Palestine even today, that grows up along with the wheat. It looks very similar to the wheat while it's growing up until the very later stages. Then it looks very different. But as it's growing, it looks the same. So there's a lot of evil in the world. Amen? Who is to blame for that? Is that God working evil in the world? No, that's the devil. He says the devil who sows the evil, the one who sows the evil seeds and the evil weeds is the devil, says Jesus in this case. So all the evil in the world is from him, and the sons of the evil one who bear evil fruit in the world, the wicked, are his children. So here's the big question, though. Is God a God of justice? Does he care about the evil in the world? Yes, he does. Is he going to judge the wicked in the world? According to Jesus, yes, he is. Does he judge the wicked in the world right now, according to Jesus? Well, sometimes yes, but according to this parable, no. What's the timing of it? At the harvest, you're going to see. Why does God not destroy and judge and get rid of the evil and the wicked in the world that are today? Why does he allow evil? Because he doesn't want to destroy and cut short the growing of the wheat. If he comes, think about this. If God comes in justice right now, in his full fury of wrath, to execute justice on the earth and to punish every crime in full force today, then that's the end of the world. Then he can't save more people, which he's doing every day. He wants you to keep bearing good fruit and getting a greater reward. That would be cut short. That'd be all over the moment he came. So, the servants of the landowner then say, look, Lord, your field, which we know you want to have good in, it has evil, poisonous weeds in it. Should we go and gather them now? Notice, can we get rid of it right now? And that's what we want, right? God, do your justice now. Send your lightning down now. Get rid of the wicked now. What does the landowner say? No, not yet. Let them both grow up, the good and the evil, at the same time until the harvest. What's the harvest? The end of the age. And the reapers will be the angels, and they'll go and gather the good at that time and judge. And the evil will also be gathered and burned. So, is God a God of justice, friends, according to Jesus? Yes, he is. He wants good in the world, amen? Yes. If there's good in the world, it's God working it, amen? If there's evil in the world, who's working it? That's the devil. And who is that? That is the unbelievers and the wicked poisonous seeds that they have coming up. Is God, does he care about these things? 100%, yes, he does. Why does he not then judge right away? Because he has his timing. It's all about timing. I want more good to be done first. If I come and judge now, I'm cutting short the good. Let the good continue to grow and the evil continue to grow. And at the harvest, on the last day, when I send my son Jesus to return, then I'll do the judging. It's reserved for a future time. So you can see how this is beautiful teaching to us of the timing of God's judgment. Towards the end of time, though, as the righteous and the wicked are growing up together, how do you tell the difference between the wheat and the weeds? Well, in ancient Israel, the zizanians, the poisonous plants that would grow up along with the wheat, looked very similar to begin with. Later on, they looked very differently. And they had black poisonous wheat, and they looked different in their maturity. But also, do you know what? I've heard from a guy that has farmed in the in Israel area and knows how that goes. The wheat, as it grows up, it gets so full of fruit, guess what happens to it? It bows over. And so the righteous actually are brought very low until the harvest because of the fruit, the weight of the good deeds, the seeds that they are producing, they bow over. But the wicked don't have that same heaviness. And the darnel, the zizanians, they grow straight up and get very exalted and very high because there's nothing restraining them. What does that teach us? That in the time before the harvest, the righteous will suffer bending low, humbly before God, under the weight of their good deeds, almost suffering for it, while the righteous just shoot right up, exalted, without any cares for righteousness, but going fast and furious into their evil. But what makes the difference? At the end, the landowner says, looks at his watch, looks at the harvest, says, "And now," and sends forth the reapers, the angels, and they quickly gather everything, and there's the great judgment on that latter time. So what's the main point here? Jesus is teaching us today, if you are wondering about God's justice, does he really care about what's going on in the world? Does he really care about allowing evil or rewarding the righteous or punishing the wicked? God's answer is simply this: you just wait. Wait and see. And you're going to judge differently on the day when Jesus comes, whether I care about these things or not. For Ecclesiastes says, for everything there's a season, you see, and a time for every matter under heaven. There's a time to sow, and then there's later on a time to reap. We're in the sowing part. And Ecclesiastes 3, I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, but he has appointed a time for every matter and for every work. See, a time for the phone to go off as well, and a time for the phone to be picked up. Yeah. So God's answer every time in the Bible when his people have asked this, why don't you judge right now, God? His answer is always the same. It's always just wait. God says, when Habakkuk says, why do you idly look at wrong and are silent while the wicked man swallows up the man more righteous than he? Habakkuk 2, God simply says, still the vision awaits its time. It will surely come. It won't delay. The one whose soul is not upright in him shall fail, but the righteous one shall live by his faith. Just wait for the timing, Habakkuk. David, why do you stand afar off, God, and hide yourself in times of trouble when the arrogant wickedly hotly pursues the poor? Where are you, God? God's answer is, just wait, David, because God will hear the desire of the meek, strengthen their heart to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. It's coming, David. Just wait for it. Psalm 73, I wondered why and how to understand the prosperity of the wicked until I went into the sanctuary and I perceived their end. Surely thou dost set them in slippery places. Thou dost make them fall to ruin. And in Malachi, when they said, it's in vain to serve God. From now on, we consider the evildoers blessed, for they not only prosper, but when they put God to the test, they escape. What's God's answer there? What do you think it is, Bill?
Wait.
Wait. He says, look, I've got books written, books of remembrance, books of records. I have recorded in a ledger everything that everybody's ever done, even in their secret hearts and their secret places. And the righteous shall be mine, says the Lord, my special possession on the day when I act. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. God says, then once more you will distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. You wonder if I care about justice, or you won't wonder on that day when I come at the harvest whether I care about these things. So you see, friends, don't doubt God. Keep faith. It's just all about timing. God rewards you in this life at this time, yeah, too. And he punishes the wicked, but only in certain measures. If you're looking for the full judgment of God, that is not until the end, till the harvest, till the last day. And it'll be sprung upon the world at Christ's return, rewarding the righteous for their righteous deeds, punishing the wicked for their wicked deeds. So how should we then look at this delay of God? Well, friends, rejoice in it. You know why? This means the only reason God is delaying judging the wicked right now is because he's trying to save more of them. Amen? God wants to save the world. He doesn't desire the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his wicked way and live. God, we should rejoice in this. Peter says, count the forbearance of the Lord as salvation. He's trying to save the whole earth. Let's be part of that mission and keep bringing the gospel to people, saving them. We count the delay of the Lord as a great thing to rejoice in. We also rejoice that we have more time to store up good deeds for ourselves and a reward to be given us on that last day. You got time. Go for that. And let's praise God for his delay in judgment as well, because frankly, we ourselves were poisonous weeds ourselves. We ourselves were that evil wheat, weed growing up. And if God had judged us early, we would have been damned. We would have perished in our sins. But because God delayed, because he held back his hand, because he doesn't wish any should perish, but stayed his justice for a time, for a future time, we had time to get saved. And he in time has come and saved you in Jesus, who has given his life for you, that you might not perish, but believing on him, have eternal life. And you have been turned from weeds into glorious wheat, the sons of the kingdom. So praise God, then, that he hasn't judged the wicked already. Praise God there is a delay. Praise God we have to wait for a future time. But in the meantime, then, let's do right and with zeal. Never lose sight that God is a God of justice, and he rewards you and will reward you for your every deed. He rewards everyone for their deeds, good or be they evil, until that day when Christ comes and the reward of the saints will come to you in the reward everlasting in the kingdom eternal. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Is God Still Just When We Don't See the Righteous Rewarded and the Wicked Punished? A broadcast of Chartered Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old recreation center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.